please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 10. Today's title is Too Best to Be Stressed or Too Blessed to Be Stressed. And I was going to put a ha on the end of that because sometimes our blessings become our burdens and we are a stressed people. So hopefully this morning we'll see some things that kind of change that. I like chapter 10. There's so many great stories, and you look at the Bible and there's so many interactions with Jesus. You know not everyone's in the Bible there. And so you ask yourself, why is this particular passage in this place? And if you remember last week in chapter 10, this man asked, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asked him, well, what does the Bible say? And he basically quotes two Old Testament passages. And it's the love of the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so really the idea, Jesus said, do this and live. And so, but the man recognizes that he can't do all these things. And so I think this week kind of, as you look at this passage, we really see something that kind of complements that we do for the right reasons and that we make sure that we're doing with the right cause in mind and the great mental aspect of being with Christ and not just doing for Christ. And so hopefully you'll see that as we go along here. I'd like to take some time and read out of chapter 10, verse 38. It says this. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered to a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us direction, that gives us peace, that gives us a sense of understanding. Help us, Lord, to be focused on that one thing in our life, and that is to be with you. Lord, today I pray that as we go through this passage that we recognize that serving is needful and that we should serve, but also we should serve in the right way, and that's doing for your honor and glory. So, Lord, today give me unction, give me the clear words and a clear mind to simply say those things that are needful and necessary. And thank you, Lord, again for your promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may have heard about the guy that was worried about everything. I'm telling you, he was worried about his bills. He was worried about his wife. He was worried about his job. He was worried about his kids, so much so that his health was not good. And so his friend came along and said, man, you've got to quit worrying so much. You've got to do something or your life is you're just not going to make it. This is going to overwhelm you. Well, about another week went by, and his friend saw him, and this guy was cool and calm and collected. Not a worry in the world. And he said, man, what happened? He said, well, I took your advice, and I hired a professional worrier. He said, wow, I bet that was expensive. He said, it was about $3,000 a week. He said, $3,000 a week? How are you going to afford that? He said, I don't know, but that's not my worry. Sometimes we got to recognize that we can't worry about everything. We've got to let the Lord take care of us. I love that scripture in the book of Philippians chapter 4. He says, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but at everything by prayer and supplication. So we're given this command not to worry. But here's what I'm going to find out in my life and your life too, that we all are a people that worry, but we can recognize that God wants us to make sure that we put our faith and trust in him and that we can surely do that as we live for him. So we're going to find a lady named Martha, busy and word. A disciple of Christ, yes. A follower of Christ, yes. A woman that loved the Lord, yes. But we're going to find that she is so worried about doing things just right that she misses the best part. And so I want to speak to you today about that, and hopefully your life will look more like a Mary and Martha combined, that you may do things, but do them in the right way. Notice the first thing I want you to see, there's the worry of Martha, the worry of Martha. It simply says in verse 38, and it came to pass as they went that he entered to a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now, we want to stop there just for a second and recognize that we don't know how Jesus made the connection with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We just know that there was an acquaintance made, and so evidently Jesus stops by their house every so often. But we do know something about this situation. I just want to quickly kind of go through that, just kind of set the tone there. We know that Mary or Martha had a sister named Mary. We see that in verse 39. We know that they lived in Bethany. We find that in John chapter 11. Bethany is about a mile and a half, 2 miles from Jerusalem going east. We know that she had a brother named Lazarus. We find that also in John 11, verse 21. But we also know this, that Jesus loved these three. John 11:5 says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." And lastly, we know that Jesus was coming to her house, or was at her house, for a time of meal and fellowship and teaching. So notice Martha. First, there's the focus on serving, the focus on serving. So verse 40 says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving." She was cumbered. She was doing things in such a way that it weighed her down. But I really want to focus on the serving part first before we go to this idea of being negative about serving. The word there is diakonos. It is the word that means to stir the dust. It's the same word we get our word deacon from. And Paul used that word in different ways. We find in Romans 15, it speaks about service. And 2 Corinthians 6:3, it speaks that same word about ministry. Romans 11:13 speaks about that being a particular office in one sense and an official term. And so we recognize that service or doing things were needful in those days and needful for this day. Matter of fact, the Bible commands us to serve. If you go back to the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, there was a command to serve the Lord. And then we find in the New Testament, Galatians 5:13, it says this, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion of flesh, but by love serve one another." Ephesians 6:7 says, "With goodwill doing service as unto the Lord and not unto men." And there's multitudes of passages that speak about that we should serve for the Lord. Jesus sets the example in Luke chapter 22. And then in 1 Corinthians, it speaks about us as the body of Christ using our spiritual gifts to serve one another. And so let me quickly say, before I kind of look at the negative part again, that we are called to serve inside and outside these walls of the church. And here's so good about this, that when you serve, it makes a difference in your life and the lives of others. I like Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that he shall also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting." Then he says this, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due time we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them of their household of faith." And so we're called to serve, and we do. God will bless us for our serving. And when you serve, yes, it does bless others, but you will receive the greatest blessing. And so if you're not serving today, one, you're not fulfilling the will of God, but secondly, you are missing a great, great blessing. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, "Give." And let me just say, you can give of your time, of your talents, of your treasures. That's not the idea. It is the idea of giving of yourself. "Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken out, running over, shall men give you bosom, for with the same measure that you meet with, it shall be measured to you again." In other words, when you give, when you serve, that blessing always comes back. Jesus said this in Mark 9:41, "For whatsoever you shall give a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, you shall no wise lose your reward." He just simply says, when you do good to others, it will come back to you in some way, shape, or form. Maybe not the way you like it or think about it, but one day, whether it's now or in heaven, it will return. It will be a great honor. Secondly, you will also be an example for others when you serve. I can tell you of people in this church today that serve faithfully, not because of the preacher asked them to, or this person or that person kind of go to them to, but they saw faithful family members from years past serve the Lord. It's made a difference. They recognize it is important to serve for the cause of Christ, and I'm thankful for that. And so we want you to understand that you should be people focused on serving. And let me just say, this is a great place. Y'all truly serve the Lord. Anytime there's an event, y'all jump in by the hundreds and truly serve. Last week at Vacation Bible School, over 100 adults consistently through the week served in that way. But let me say this, there is a danger in serving. There is a danger in serving and losing focus, and this will happen to Martha. So we go from the focus on serving now to the frustration with serving, the frustration with serving. Notice verse 40, "But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And so she is cumbered, the idea that she is overburdened, so much so that it distracted her from what she really should be doing. And the idea that she was busy about getting things ready. Can you imagine, take Martha out of the situation and place yourself there, and you hear, hey, Jesus is on his way to your house. Or maybe Jesus is knocking at the front door and fixing to come in. And there's a meal expected. There's all these things. And you are rushing around. The house needs to be cleaned. The rugs are stained. The food's not cooked yet. I've got to pick it up and clean it up. There's so much to do in so little time. Anybody ever felt like that in your life? That go, 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 go. And so we find that she wants everything just right. And so she is overwhelmed, even though the greatest blessing of all is right there at the door. I'm reminded of Peter walking in the water. Remember that story? Jesus tells Peter, get out of the boat and walk down. And so he gets out of the boat, and Peter walks on the water. But the Bible says that he was distracted by a wave. He was kind of burdened by this idea, hey, there's something over there. And he gets his eyes off Christ, and he begins to sink. Here, Martha does the same thing, not in the ocean, but in her own house, so distracted by the things that need to be done, she gets her eyes off Christ, and she begins to sink in her own world. So how does this happen? One, her focus was on herself. She was focused on her doing. Matter of fact, at the end of verse 40, it says this, does thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she should help me. Can you see the idea? It is all about me. And let me just tell you about our ministries. You all, many of you have your own little calling, your own little niche, the thing that God has called you to do. And that is a great thing. Their ministry should bubble out of the church. It should be there. The Lord has given you a ministry. I think about like different things that kind of are part of the church and even also outside of the church. How about Peggy Pimble or Men's Night or even a FCA or People for the Unborn? There's so many great ministries. But there's going to be a problem when people come in and think, hey, my ministry is the most important ministry there is. I've had people come into the office and walk in or call me on the phone and almost get upset when we don't support with all that we are for the ministry they are doing. Like, how dare you? Can't you see the good that we're... And I understand that. And that's great that you have that mindset. And God has put you there to do a ministry. But let me just tell you, when you focus only on your ministry and forget that others have been given a different ministry, then you begin to be frustrated for those around you. And so we find that she is frustrated. And she is focused on herself, but also she was focused on other people. Frustration always leads to complaining, and Martha always seems to be frustrated at times with Mary and even now with Jesus. And so we need to recognize that we need to overcome our frustration by simply focusing on a few things. One is make sure what you're doing is that you're called to do. The idea is that before you step out, And, you know, we kind of change teachers at times. We change different things at times. And so the church is going to come to you and say, hey, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? I want you to say yes. But if it's not your calling, if it's not in your ministry, be careful, because if you do those things and you're not called to do them, you will be highly frustrated. Secondly, though, this, recognize that not everyone has the same calling you do. And so understand that it's okay that if people have different aspirations and different ministries and the church helps these and helps these and helps these and you're just recognize you're not the only ministry in the house of God. Lastly, recognize the greatest priority that is given you is the Lord above. And it's not about doing, it's about being with him. And so we're going to find that same picture now with Mary. So we go from the worry of Martha now to the worship of Mary. So we're going to find Mary. I'm sure she helped out at times, but she's not getting things ready. She's not cleaning this. She's not putting out dishes. She's not doing any of those things that Martha is. She is now sitting at the feet of Jesus. She will be the example that Martha needs to understand what is good. So first, notice we find the discipleship of Mary, the discipleship of Mary. Verse 39 says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Now, that word sat means to be a disciple. It means, yes, literally, maybe she was sitting down beside Jesus. Maybe she did sit on the ground like others did. But it's much more than that. It really means to be a follower. Matter of fact, we find the same thing in Acts chapter 22 when Paul is speaking about his testimony about being a disciple of Gamaliel. He says in Acts 22, verse 3, I am verily a man which am born a Jew, born in Tarsus in the city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. That simply means that he was a disciple of this Jewish teacher. He was a learner. And so when it says that she sat at the feet, she was simply a follower, a learner of Christ. And so don't miss this, that we too, as Martha needs to be a disciple sitting down at times, we too need to be a disciple. Here's the sad part. Sometimes we define our Christianity maybe by a statement of belief or by coming to church, but it really should be about our life actions. Followers of Christ. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And so the thought is this. Are we a follower of Christ? Are we recognized as a people who sit at the feet of Jesus? Sometimes I think people are long-distant followers. In other words, they're not so closely associated with Christ that you can't readily tell that they are believers in Christ Jesus. And so I'm not pointing fingers this morning at anybody, because when you point one, three or four will come back. But let me ask you, what does your life look like? What does your Facebook page look like? Your Instagram page or your Snapchat or your Twitter or your TikTok or Discord or all those other things that I really don't know much about? How do they point to you and say, here is a person that follows what? Does the world know that you're a follower of Christ, that you sit at Christ's feet? Matter of fact, Martha knows exactly where Mary is at the feet of Jesus. So Mary was the disciple of Christ. But secondly, we find the desire of Mary, not just the discipleship of Mary, but now the desire of Mary. Verse 39 says, and she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And so the thought was, why sit at Jesus' feet? To take in Jesus, to hear him, to know him, to love him. We should have that same desire. And sometimes in this busy world we live at, we live more of a drive-by worship mentality. That we have so much things going on, we have so limited time. I found something this week. In Daytona, there is a drive-in worship service. You just pull your car in. Remember those drive-in theaters? Maybe I'm dating myself. When I was a little bitty boy, we go to the drive-in theater, and you pull up, and you watch the big screen. You put that thing in the window. Well, they don't put the thing in the window anymore. But you just turn your radio to a certain station and have your 30 minutes of singing and 30 minutes of preaching, and then you go on, never leaving your car. Why? Because we have so little time. I wonder, do we worship like that? Do we have a true desire to be with Jesus and Jesus alone? When it comes to our prayer time, we offer flare prayers. We pray while we're driving. We pray before meals. Nothing wrong with that. But do we ever sit down and focus on Christ in prayer? How about Bible study? Do you desire to be in the Word? That's why Mary was there, to hear his words. The Word reveals to us who God is and what God's about. We know much about God today because of his written Word. Mary had a desire to be seated next to Jesus. She sits at his feet three different times in the Bible that we see. And I think it's neat. I'll quickly go through these. Here, she sits to listen to his words. And then in John 11, she sits because she has a great woe. Her brother has just died, and she comes and sits at Christ's feet to express her sorrow and her need for him. She wants something to change. And then lastly, in John chapter 12, she sits at his feet when she pours out a perfume, and it is a sense of worship. So I'm reminded in our life, when we sit at the feet of Jesus, it should be for his word to have great wisdom and understanding of who God is and what he wants. It should be to express our woe, to overcome situations that overwhelm us. And thirdly, it should be that when we come and sit at his feet, it is to worship the one true God who can do all things by his power and might. How good it is that she sits at the feet of Jesus. We should too. But it leads to the next point. Not just the worry of Martha and the worship of Mary, but now the words of the Master, the words of the Master. Martha is going to confront Jesus and say, Lord, don't you care? Bid her to do something. Martha confronts Jesus, but now Jesus confronts Martha. Notice the first thing, the chastisement from Jesus. Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. So let's just stop for a moment. Martha, Martha. Now let me remind you, when the Lord calls your name, that's one thing. When the Lord calls your name twice, you better watch out. I'm reminded in the Bible about how many times God called people's names. In Genesis chapter 22, 11, the Lord calls out, Abraham, Abraham. That's when he's about to sacrifice his son. Stop. I think about Exodus 34. Moses sees the burning bush, and God calls out, Moses, Moses. In 1 Samuel 3, verse 10, God calls Samuel to know him more and to be a servant. Samuel, Samuel. And then the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus in Acts 26, as he gives his testimony, he heard these words, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And so we find that Christ is calling out to Martha, Martha, Martha. It's not because he's mad. It's not because he's angry. It's not because he does not like her. He wants to bring her back to a point to understand that she needs him and that she can serve him in the right way. And so we find again, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. I think about the things that she was troubled about, all the worry that she had to do, all the things that she had to take care of for this meeting with Jesus. And I'm reminded in our time and about all the things that we get distracted with. She was so troubled that it was a distraction from Christ. And I'm reminded that Martha's last name may have been Martha Osteen. I'm not real sure about that. But we get so distracted. She didn't have Facebook. She didn't have this. She didn't have that. But I'm reminded that we do. Yes, we're called to provide for our family. We have jobs that distract us sometimes. But 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone not provide for his own, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and worse than unbelievers. So we're called to work. We're called to do those things. We all have relationships. And so those are good things. We also go do and fun things. But let me remind you, when those things distract us, the things that are good now become not so good. Have you ever seen those guys that spin the plates? They have these plates. They spin around on the sticks. They spin one plate, and oh, that's a pretty neat trick. And then he speaks about life, and he says, now I got married, and he takes a second plate, and he's spinning two plates. And then he said, well, I had kids. I didn't have two kids, three kids. I had four kids. And so he starts spinning four more plates. So he's got six plates spinning. And then he says, I like to go deer. I got a job. And he's got about 10 plates all spinning around. And eventually what happens is one crashes, then two crashes, then three crashes, and then all 12 plates finally come crashing down. Can I tell you about life today? When you get so busy with even good things, so busy that you get distracted from the Lord, your life will come crashing down. Now, I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm not talking about different. I'm just talking about life can hit rock bottom in a hurry. I don't know if I said this, we're fixing to say it, but let me just say it again. Good is the enemy of great. And you can do too many good things and find yourself in a mess because you've been distracted from the one thing that is true and good. Jesus said in Matthew 13:22, he that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. The idea is that we can have so many good things that we are pursuing, all these different things, that finally we are burdened and tired. Matter of fact, anybody else in here get tired? Not from doing bad, but from simply trying to do so many good things. I'm suspecting today that the house is not very full because there's so many people trying to do good things with their family, with this, with that. Not knocking it, just saying this is how we are. But I'm reminded of what Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so Jesus simply corrects or chastises Martha, Martha, Martha. But the chastisement leads to this, to the correction by Jesus. Not just the chastisement, but now the correction. Verse 42 says, but one thing is needful. But one thing is needful. Let me remind you what she's probably, Jesus is making allusion to. All these plates you got set out, Martha, that's great, fine, but you really just needed one plate. All these things you've done, you really just needed one thing. I like what the psalmist said about one thing. Psalms 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Paul said in Philippians 3:13 about one thing. Brethren, I count myself not apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth those things which are before. This one thing. And this one thing is for us the same, to be in Christ, to have the Lord, to have fellowship with him. And so the question is, how can I have this one thing? And it is so simple. Be intentional. Be focused. Simply choose him. Notice what verse 42 says. But this one thing is needful, Mary, and Mary hath chosen that good part. Simply, she has chosen that one thing. And so we too must choose to spend time with the Lord. We all have the same amount of time in a day. So we must schedule our time. If you don't schedule your time, somebody else will schedule it for you. Learn to say no to the things that rob your time. Learn to say no to good things that rob your time with the Lord. Schedule those things that promote your relationship with the Lord. I don't care when you pray and when you read your Bible, but you ought to do it. And you ought to schedule your time to do those things, early or late. You've heard me say this before. I'm going to say it again. My routine is to get up early, read, and pray. There was a time in my life when I went to bed and read and pray. It doesn't matter. Focus on the Lord. Figure your time and stick with it. Sometimes you may not feel like it, and that's fine. But to me, it's kind of like taking medicine sometimes. Sometimes I don't want to take my medicine. Sometimes I don't want to exercise. Sometimes I don't want to eat right. But I know when I do those things, it will benefit me. And so focus on the Lord daily. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah said, with my soul I have desired thee in the night, yea, when my spirit will seek thee early in the morning. So we're called to have to do that, to simply seek the Lord. So will you spend time with the Lord? Will you choose to spend time with the Lord in the Bible? And when you read the Word again, it tells you who God is and what God expects you to do. It tells you the wisdom of God and tells us how to deal with things in our life. Secondly, will you choose to spend time with the Lord in prayer? Not just reading his word, but praying. In prayer, simply just say, talk with the Lord above. This next chapter, in chapter 11, we'll speak about how we should pray. You say, why do all these things? Notice the end of verse 42. Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. All the labor that you run after, all the things you try to possess, all the physical things of this world, they're going to pass away. They will. But the things that you seek the Lord with, the things that you place your heart and give to Christ, the things that you invest spiritually, they will not pass away. They will be for all eternity. Jesus said it like this in John 6:27, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. And so it ends like this. Yes, Martha was trying to do good, but became distracted by her doing her good doing. Mary was focused on Jesus and maybe not serving quite like she should. And so we need to be that great blend, truly serving, yet truly seeking him like the Lord desires. Charles Wesley, that great Methodist preacher of years past, wrote a hymn, and in that says this, speaking about the balance between the two. Faithful to my Lord's commands, I still would choose the better part, serve with careful Martha's hands and a loving Mary's heart. And so today, it's the invitation. It starts with this, that you can't do good for Christ until you're in Christ. So it starts with salvation. I'm telling you, God has chosen us. We should choose him. God has come to seek and save that which is lost. He wants us to be in him. The gift of salvation is freely given. Why not choose to accept that today? And you can do it right where you sit up this morning by saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I have messed up. I have all these things that are overwhelming me. But Lord, I know that you have the power and the might and love, mercy, and grace to take care of all those things. Help me, Lord Jesus. Save me. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call on the Lord shall be saved. Secondly, maybe it's restoration. Choose restoration today. Maybe you are a believer, but like Martha, so distracted, so overwhelmed, so burdened. Let the Lord work in your life. He can change things around like nobody else can. He can make things right when nobody else can. He can direct your steps, and he will be a blessing to you in the days to come. Why not follow that? If you're here today and need the Lord, simply choose that better part. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes just for a moment. I'm reminded there will always be distractions in life, always. In church, in your house, at school, at work, everywhere. Always distractions. But with the distraction comes the decision to focus on Christ or not. And so make a point today. Decide to follow Jesus. It's the invitation time. Don't let anything distract you from making that decision that will honor the Father above. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us hope and direction, that gives us examples of two. Lord, help us to be a people that always cling to you, that choose the better part, that simply are found faithful, not just doing, but being as we should. Bless the invitation. Bless those that make decisions. Blesses the people now in Jesus' name. Amen.